There were gasps in the Supreme Court yesterday because Justice Clarence Thomas spoke the first questions from the justice in more than a decade. He sat next to the still shrouded chair of the late Justice Scalia, and maybe that had an impact. But Justice Scalia's absence will definitely affect several cases this term, including a landmark abortion case, which begins oral arguments tomorrow. The case is a challenge to a Texas law which requires that doctors who provide abortions have admitting privileges at a local hospital, and clinics that provide abortions meet the same standards as ambulatory surgical centers, something abortion rights supporters say will shut down many clinics. Emily Bazelon is here. She's a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, start with Justice Thomas speaking. Do we know why now?
No, we don't know why now. We can only speculate, which is too tantalizing not to do. You know, the immediate answer is that Justice Thomas had some pertinent questions about the implications for a fairly obscure matter of criminal law for gun ownership and gun possession, an issue that we know from his writing is dear to his heart. So that was what he asked questions about.
Yeah. And what was the reason he stopped in the first place?
He has said that he thought there were just too many questions and interruptions in general from the Supreme Court. You know, oral argument tends to be very lively. The justices come in and stop the lawyers from talking constantly. And Thomas has said that he just found that to be too much. And perhaps there are deeper issues about his feelings about the Supreme Court, about elite institutions in general, but he hasn't talked about that as much.
Well, he isn't talking about why he talked. So let's turn to tomorrow's oral arguments. Justice Scalia was one of the fiercest opponents of Roe v. Wade. How's his absence, first of all, likely to affect this case?
It matters a great deal for the result in the case. It's kind of a technical reason, but let's imagine that the court splits 4-4 and would have come out in favor of upholding Texas's abortion restrictions if Justice Scalia were still on the court. If there had been a 5-justice majority in favor of these restrictions, then the Supreme Court's ruling would have national reach. And that matters because there are more than a dozen states that have some kind of restrictions like Texas. And those restrictions have caused abortion clinics to shut down when they've gone into effect. The 4-4 tie means that even if the court rules in favor of Texas, its ruling will be restricted to this law in Texas. And if the court goes in the opposite direction, strikes down the regulations, presumably meaning that Justice Kennedy sides with the liberals on the court, then that would also be a national ruling that would presumably lead to the striking down of lots of other state laws that have shut down abortion clinics.
Well, and we know that more than 100 women have filed supporting briefs, hoping that they can sway Justice Kennedy. We're hearing this is a move to put a face on women who choose abortion, take it out of the shadow of shame, but also directed at Justice Kennedy. Tell us more.
Justice Kennedy, in an abortion opinion several years ago, expressed concern about women who may come to regret their abortions. And in that case, there were a whole lot of affidavits filed by women who had those feelings. And Justice Kennedy worried that because of those feelings of regret, that was one of his reasons for banning this particular kind of late-term abortion altogether. And so I think this time, the pro-choice community really wanted to show Justice Kennedy that women have a range of responses to abortion, that for some women, this is a decision and a choice that really helps them do something else they want to do in life, including perhaps having children later on.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen here, Emily?
That's such a good question. You know, what strikes me the most about this case is that the American Medical Association, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, in other words, the major medical groups that think about reproductive health, they have come down squarely against Texas. And the reason these groups give for their position is they see no medical justification for these rules that regulate abortion. Texas claims it is trying to protect the health of women. The medical groups say abortion is actually an incredibly safe procedure compared to other procedures. And so essentially, the state's claim of protecting women is really just a pretext for shutting down the clinics. Yeah.
And again, the Texas law, the requirements we're talking about, the restrictions will require that doctors who provide abortions have admitting privileges at a local hospital. Sometimes there aren't any nearby. And clinics that provide abortions meet the same standards as ambulatory surgical centers. That's the law. And we'll see what happens. Emily Bazelon, staff writer at the New York Times Magazine, fellow at Yale Law School. Thanks for helping us follow this.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.